Welcome to the Amateur Skeptics Podcast number 305. I'm your host, Brian. Joining me this evening, Mac.
Catchphrase, TBD, third thing.
Okay. Ian is with us.
Hey, I can say honestly that I have not had my comic pulled from hundreds of newspapers, most likely because I have not gone on some bizarre rant, although it could have something to do with the fact that I don't have a comic out there. But we're doing good.
Fair enough. Mad Cat is with us.
Hey, hey. Just dealing with some sci-fi and talking to my AI.
And, of course, the dumbass himself.
Greetings, fellow human. Brian, I am excited to talk with you today.
What's funny about that is you started Cyloning as you did it, so it worked out pretty well.
He's always been good at Cyloning.
Brian, you shouldn't have said that. Just pretended like it was genuine.
I can fix it in post.
We need to do that, people.
Yeah, but you might want to turn your mic down just a little bit. It's a little bit hot.
Here.
Yeah, see there.
Nothing is an accident.
All right, if you can turn your mic volume down just a little bit, it will help because you are clipping.
Oh, is it too loud?
Yeah, it is too loud. Yeah, it's literally clipping.
How's this? Is this better?
Yeah, that's good. Right there. Go with that.
Okay, good.
All right. And I guess Ian's not hawking anything.
Nope.
I mean, you can hawk whatever you want. These things come out when they come out. I just can't. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go to Amazon, buy my books.
There we go.
I already have about most of them, but
and buy them,
have a couple
and
more.
Buy them with a sex toy.
How about selling your body, Ian? You willing to do that? Go that far for the fans?
Would I what?
Sell your body.
Would they want it? I've abused it quite a bit. This is not something to...
It's not a cherished thing.
It's very much not in mint condition.
So you've got flipped over pages, huh?
Oh yeah.
Ah.
All right.
Dog-eared and everything.
Well, it sounds like we're ready to just move right along, aren't we?
Ah, yes. And that would mean that we would be coming up to the Ian and Dumbass's masturbation moment. Brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.
Now we're going to start out with a naughty sex toy. But we have to
read the headline. Yeah, I love the headline.
Okay, yeah. So I hated it at first, but then somebody explained it to me because jokes are better when they're explained. It says, it's not a darning tool. It's a very naughty toy. Roman dildo found.
So
I didn't get it at first either, but I was told that somebody would tell me when I was older.
So this is an artifact they found back in 1992. And apparently, they even say the article, it looks like whoever may have initially filed it was a bit embarrassed to mention what it actually looks like it really is. And so it was just written off as a darning tool. But you look at it, that's a penis. They have a really, straight on image of it. It's like, yeah, that's a penis.
I'd really like to see an image of it next to a Coke can so I can get in a perspective here.
Well, how do we know that this isn't like those things that you have in ring stores to put the ring on to show how it would look? How do we know this isn't from a cock ring store? And it's tapered like that, so you can put different sizes of rings on it.
They wouldn't necessarily write that off.
It only has one ring section.
Well, but no, I think he's talking about how the size goes from smaller to bigger, so you could actually do a sizing kind of thing.
But if you were doing the sizing, you'd have to have the line to put each size on, that only has the one ring. The one
I think.
I'm sure the Sharpie that they put that on have been rubbed off by now.
the lead paint has been removed.
Yeah, I think the best part of the article is that it's 16 centimeters long, but researchers say it was probably larger because archaeological wood is prone to shrinkage.
No, they said that in here.
They said that in the article.
Oh God, that is beautiful. So this is a Guardian article. So
yeah,
but it's hard to tell the scale. Looking at it, just like bare without all that much around it, it looks huge.
Yeah, it does.
They
look
call
big.
It life size. So you figure at least the front part of it is, by their estimates, is approximately the size of an average penis.
It does say that. 16 inches long research could have been probably longer, but already it would. But it also says shrinkage and warping. Did you say the warping?
I didn't say the warping, but that was intentionally left out.
I think anyone who thinks in this picture, it looks as though you could like grab it and use it as a big club swinging it about.
Yeah,
it does kind of look. Bad. Yeah, maybe
it does look a club.
And see, that's the thing. They even admit calling it a dildo is just some kind of saying that's a possibility. There are other things it could have been, but it's almost definitely supposed to look like a penis.
Guys, why not both? Why not a club by somebody who's proud of his penis and carved the penis into the base of the club?
I was just going to say, guys always think it looks like a club you can wave around.
But it's just one of those fun archaeology things, because you do get the impression the first people that got hold of it were a bit prudish and didn't want to call it what it was.
That is funny.
And so it's been misfiled for, 30 years, and they're like, we're looking at it again, and we're pretty sure it's a penis.
Was it on this show that we talked about the penguins, or did I hear about that somewhere else?
The penguins.
Weren't those penguin zombies?
The first guy who who observed the mating habits of the penguins wrote it down, but he was so scandalized by it. I think he had to write it down in Latin, hidden in case just so that only for certain people to see these notes, because he couldn't bring himself to publish it where people might read this scandalous stuff.
He was traumatized by it, basically.
Yeah.
So, but I'm assuming nobody's tried it to see if it, how effective it is.
I'm going to go with a no, although it does sound like it might have been used in a really cool party, because they're saying it was found in a ditch along with dozens of shoes and dress accessories.
Have they done a DNA sample? That's what we need.
Oh, regretfully, DNA is not going to survive for the 2,000 years that was sitting around.
DNA can survive for 2,000 years. Maybe not on this. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe
not like a residue of DNA from when it was used.
a skeletal remains might be able to keep its DNA intact.
I bet you next week we can buy the replica on Adam and Eve.
That would be good marketing.
As long as it's the original material, because, a dildo may be for tonight, but splinters are forever.
Yeah, well, that's one thing looking at it. You can see a very good... nudge that doesn't look like it was carved in. That looks like it was probably worn in it at some point. That would probably make it kind of painful to try and use right now.
It probably did have some sort of paint or something on it. I bet.
Yeah,
I'm noticing. I think that the tip of it and a little way up the shaft is smoother than the rest of it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Maybe they used.
So that's about as far as the user tended to get. It looks like.
That's where they needed to.
Demis, turn your mic down a little bit more, or adjust the.
I'm sorry. The
microphone. Okay, let's try. All right.
How's that? Is that better?
I think so.
They could have used beeswax on it.
And who knows? But that's a good point. It could have had some sort of agent on there. But without a chemical analysis, we're never going to know. Yeah. And with his age, we might not ever know.
Right. But and they talked about how even if it was a dildo, it could have been actually a torture device. That's one of the more interesting comments in here.
I would explain
dildos
why it gets so big.
Dildos weren't always used for pleasure. They can be implements of torture.
They only give us a length. They don't give us a maximum circumference on the thing. I guess, though, if we knew the length, that we could figure that out, couldn't we?
Well, also,
who of you guys actually knows how to math it?
I've seen some of the toys that are out there right now. So
we've featured some of them on this show.
You could do a pretty big circumference. So you can have it pretty big around and still use it for pleasure.
Sure.
I wonder if there was an ancient Roman market for dildos, or whether if you wanted one, you just had to make it yourself.
I hope so, because I can see that would be a Monty Python skit right there, the dildo salesman in Rome.
We had some very interesting discussions. I guess
nobody's come across any metal one, so they must not have been all that common.
Well, they said this is the first time something like that has been found with for the Roman civilization.
But if there's one, there's got to be more, and they probably are just overlooking them or misfiling them.
Quite possibly, yeah.
They might have a lot of darning tools.
The Romans had a massive
I guess it would have been easier to make a wooden one than a metal one. Can you imagine going up to your blacksmith like, hey, I've got a special order for you.
It's a pretty big darning tool.
I'm pretty sure that there is another one of those out there because that's the kind of thing you find on the Lupercalia 2-for-1.
All right. Do you guys know what field is?
I didn't until I looked at your fingers on it.
It's a grassy place that is not owned by anybody.
So field is, I don't know. It's kind of hard to slot it exactly. Whether it's a, it's kind of a hookup app, kind of a sex app. But it's definitely falls into the genre of dating sites, right? Whether the, you know, but maybe closer to Tinder than Christian Mingle.
No, right.
Ah. And so it says.
So whereabouts in Google would that be?
Yeah, exactly. Field was created by two people who inspired each other to change the world. It says Daimo and Anna, and they have been together for years. Yada yada yada. And I think it sounded like it started out as a BDSM thing, but today it says Field's mission is to elevate the human experience of sexuality and relationships. So it kind of looks like it's trying to hit both, you know, sexuality and relationships. But it's a dating app, right? It says spice up the dating app in town. And so the other piece that I've got here is it's called Field Notes. This is a segment on Slate. So what this is a 48-year-old woman who was divorced 10 years ago, who just now has decided that she wants to have sex, and she's using Field, and I think she intends to use it for 1 year. So she's not moving on to any other apps or whatever. She's going to try to use this app for 1 year to see it and kind of see how it goes. And Field Notes is what her basically discussing, you know, her forays into this particular sex app or dating app. And I read, right now there's five different articles in here that I read through. And the one I think my wife brought it to my attention, I think because if you look at the one from February 11th, 2023, it says, much younger men keep pursuing me online and they all have the same startling fetish. And this is...
Fantasy?
What's that?
Fantasy?
Fantasy, fetish. I don't know. To me, I think this fantasy slash fetish, it's like the first thing that beats you over the head when you go to Pornhub, and it's an age play thing, and so it's the older woman, you know, and younger man thing, like, you know, so you see all this stepson porn and stuff like that, in this particular, she's talking about all the younger men that are contacting her that basically want to live out that fantasy with her, right? So she's this older, mature woman, and so, you know, and they'll start out by saying, you know, basically, you know, she'll ask him, you know, what's going on here, and basically, you know, oh well, you know, older women, they're so much more mature and they know exactly what they want, and that's how they start the conversation. But as you pursue it, you find out, well, you know, they want to be, you know, submissive, and they want to do this age play. Where, you know, this you know, mommy's son fetish, or mommy's stepson, whatever. I think a lot of it is couched as stepson, right? So that it's less creepy. One of the things she did say in here is that she doesn't know for sure, but she doesn't think that these men actually want to have sex with their mother, right? That's not the fantasy, but they do want to, you know, they want to play this. They want to call her mommy.
Right. That's pretty much the same with a lot of fetishes. Like, people who have people that have fetishes for rape don't want to actually be raped or don't advocate rape, right?
Right, exactly.
They just want to fantasize about being raped. And that's the thing that people often mistake about things like this. It makes complete sense to me that this is just a fantasy.
Yeah. So she starts out and it says, "Listen, I'm not a cougar." And it kind of doesn't appeal to her, but she doesn't. Instead of just immediately rejecting it, she does listen to these people, and she does. At some point, she actually she's contacted by somebody, I think in Australia, and she's like, you know what, this person's thousands of miles away. Let's do it, right? That was a safety net for her, right? This person's not going to be at her doorstep, right? So I was like, oh, okay, let's try it. Let's see what happens. And she found that she was more into it than she thought she might have been, but it still kind of sounded like this was definitely not her thing, what she was looking for. It is interesting, though, that the first person that she slept with, if we go back to the first article, was a 29-year-old man. And so she's 48. So quite a bit younger.
Mm.
A few years,
yeah. And this is where she talks about the app and how originally she thought it was, you know, it included light BDSM, and you know, so basically it was. It sounds like it was a little bit more targeted, but I think that's kind of gone away. That it's not, you know, it doesn't have that BDSM kind of target necessarily anymore. That it's broadened out.
I want to come out clearly and say that I'm in favor of mixed age relationships as long as the parties are legal and everything is consensual.
Well, absolutely. And they were here, right? Everybody was legal. Everything was consensual. And it wasn't like she didn't know that this was going to be somebody so much younger, right? The one thing that she did say, his profile picture did not look like him. And she says, I can't hold that against him because mine doesn't either. So that does seem to be an issue with where the profile picture and the person doesn't always match up. But yeah, so she, you know, she finally meets up with this person. They had sex a couple of times, and then when it was over, he unfriended her on the app, which she says that she felt she was a little bit relieved and a little bit felt a little bit bad about it at the same time. But she didn't really want to go out with this person again. But she's now not looking for one night stands. So she had one and she was like, okay, that's really not for me. She's, I'm looking for a little bit more than that. And then she, you know, she goes on and she continues to use this app and to continue to go on dates and explore herself and explores, you know, other people. And she, at one point, I think it's the second one, she was really frustrated with the app. And talking about, you know, just basically how these people just disappear. She'll be talking to a guy, and all of a sudden, boom, they're gone. At one point, she had arranged a date with a guy, and he doesn't show. And next thing you know, she remembered seeing a guy walk past her. So apparently, the guy, you know, walked past her, saw her, and kept walking. And so she's like, you know, that was a little bit painful. When she figured out what had happened there, but yeah, so this whole thing is the perspective of a 48-year-old woman dating again, which I found very interesting. And as I read it, I'm glad I'm not dating because it sounds tough. It sounds really tough. And on these apps, you've got a range of ages and stuff like that. And I guess if you try and narrow it too much, you know. That's probably not a good thing, but expanding it too much, you know, that creates other problems. The writing is good, and I found them to be fairly. They're written by anonymous, so whoever it is, you know, we don't know who this person is, and that's probably for the best, considering what she's doing. Somebody would go find her on the app and call her out or something. Probably wouldn't be good.
Or a murderer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean that's dark, but yeah, that's. This could be an issue.
People have done worse.
Talking to your mic, Mac.
People have done worse.
Thank you.
They've got one of us coming on too loud, another of us coming out on way too soft. You're gonna have fun editing this, aren't you?
Oh my god. I do feel like the last couple episodes I spent a lot of time telling Mac to talk into the mic. It's different because it's not attached to his head anymore, is it, Mac? Because I got him a mic, and so he has to remember that, you know, he has to lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. There's a learning curve. So anyway, so I found this interesting. Right. Oh, go ahead, Mac. Were you just going to make fun of me? That's okay.
No. I was just going to make fun of the mother-son thing.
Oh, yeah, we can go back to that if you want. Go ahead, Mommy. Tell me what you think of it.
Especially, there's a lot with older men for the who's your daddy bit. And I did have one boyfriend who said that, and he got booted out right away. And with his shorts and, you know, his room was just up the other area of the dorms. It wasn't so bad for him.
I told my wife
to
call me.
I think I mentioned before that I've had online partners who wanted to call me daddy.
All right. Yeah, I told my wife to call me daddy one time, and I, you know, I don't like sleeping on the couch, so we didn't pursue that.
you want it to be her idea to do that, not this
exactly.
One.
Yeah, I mean, it would be better, right?
Yeah. I just don't say those words in that bit. Get out.
I don't know. You know, the other thing, she doesn't say if she has kids, but man, I just, you know, some of these younger men, and it's like, yeah, some of them are, you know, probably old at the right age to be her kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do struggle with that. I think it's a little weird, but if everybody's consenting, you know, I'm not dissing it. I'm, you know, it's just, you know,
I think Pixar has a lot to answer for those thick moms out there. Am I right?
No.
Man.
But yeah, so anyway, her last blog was from the 25th, so I guess that came out, a blog, I don't know what we call it, whatever this is. The last article she put up was, see, after not having sex for years, I was supposed to hate an obsessive man and have, nowadays, I kind of like it. So actually, this one's interesting. She's talking about dick pics. It says, not quite year of dick pics. So she says that every dick pic that she's gotten so far has been consensual, right? She's not not every one of them, but if she gets one that was that wasn't, you know, that, like, if somebody starts out with a dick pic, she boots them, right? She doesn't put up with that. But if she's been talking to her for a while and they want to send her a picture of her dick, she lets them. The interesting thing she says is that after a guy sends a dick pic, the one thing that they never want to do after that is meet up in person. And I find that
you know,
interesting,
too. I think people take the dick pic way too casually these days. In my day, you had to lay your dick on the scanner, close it up, and wait for the thing to grind through. Hope your erection doesn't go away before that's done, and you come out with something kind of weird and splotchy, but we appreciated it.
You know, dumbass. You had it easy. In my day, we had to find somebody who was good with oil paints.
That's pricier, too.
It is. You know, your Dutch master.
You remember the carbon copy thing with the powder on the wheel? You know, imagine putting your dick through there.
That's bad. That's hard.
In my day, we had this thing with powder and a wheel.
We got to stop before we get somebody on here. Who said,
in my day,
oh, go ahead.
It was just chalk and paper.
It was just chalk and paper.
I'm
just imagining what you remember those old credit card things that.
It's funny. Somehow we managed to chase off Ian, but I did just get a text from him with a picture of his dick. So,
in my day, we had to cut a section of stone out from the cave and send it.
Hey, right now it's pretty fun because on streaming, at least. The group that I've been in, which is weird because it's about reptiles and snakes and such. And someone's been making the rounds with the streamers there, and they'll get on someone's stream and then show their dick. It's like
somebody. Okay, so
hey, you know, Yeah. You know how there's like ancient cave art where somebody has like put their hand up and then like spit paint over it to create an outline of their hand? Did you think like there's like the more pornographic version of that deeper into the cave that they keep from the public?
They already have that. And it's not deeper in the cave either. Deeper in the cave actually says something about this as well.
So the
deeper.
Okay, to go back to the articles. So I'm sorry to disrupt your sidetrack. Somebody had I think it was in this one too. Where it was when she was getting frustrated with Fleet that somebody did describe it. I guess as like the chat roulette of dating apps. Which, if you remember Chat Roulette, I think that mostly that was pictures of penises. But yeah, I did find it interesting that when people, if they're willing to send the dick pic, that they didn't want to meet up afterwards. I did find that kind of interesting. So anyway, so yeah.
Well,
so I've been...
I was on the site that I worked for. They had no problem showing those.
Oh, yeah? Well. Anyway, so I find this interesting, and so we'll see. You know, after a year, I mean, we will revisit some of her articles as they come out more in depth. But I find the whole concept fascinating. So there we go. Anything else, or should we move on?
How does Odin feel about it?
I don't know how Odin feels about it. You know, he's not dating either. So
okay,
he ran away.
All right. Oh, what should we move on to here? We lost Ian. Yeah, we started talking about dick pics, and he disappears. So, Mac, what do you want to talk about?
No, he disappeared before that.
Did he?
Yeah, he disappeared just after you were mentioning about the microphones.
Ah.
All right. I want to talk about, since we're talking about dick pics and dating and whatnot, I'd like to talk about the virgin given birth.
Oh, okay. Tell me about the virgin given birth.
So,
I know about this one. Yeah, I know about this. Yeah. I think as you told me. Okay.
There's a Japanese zoo, and they had a female gibbon alone in an enclosure, and they spent some time trying to figure out exactly why she had a child. What they finally figured out was that there was an agile gibbon. That's a species of gibbon, but also in this case, an apt description, who had inserted his member through a small hole in a piece of wood between their enclosures and gotten her pregnant.
It is interesting though. I mean, it's just how does that, I mean, the male had to do that and the female had to be willing enough to sit on it.
And I guess now they're trying to see if they can actually make companions in an enclosure. See if they can actually get along for more than just a casual thing.
I'll bet you it won't work because now they got to see each other eye to eye.
Yeah, he already sent his deck back. So
he already sent his.
But
deck back.
Yeah, it's interesting though too. It was definitely not something that could be done in a non-consensual way.
Yeah.
But they also made sure they plugged up that enclosure and put iron plates in place instead, or metal plates in place.
It is. I wouldn't have thought in a million years that would have happened. I just wouldn't have conceived of a gibbon using a glory hole.
I'm amused with the fact that they point out that Ichu is a 34-year-old agile gibbon.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. That was a species, but now an extremely apt description.
Yep.
I would say a very agile griffin.
How big are their penises? I mean, they have enough.
Oh, they say here.
Okay, good.
Oh, the hole.
Did he get a splinter?
The hole was like a quarter of an inch around, I think.
Yeah.
0.35 inches.
Yeah, but we don't know how long the gibbon member was.
Right.
Yeah, I thought I saw it there, but nope.
Guys, do you think he poked the hole with his penis?
If so, that metal plate is not going to be enough.
Like, I got to get that. It's like humping the wall every day and poking a little hole.
if he did, that was a pretty good audition.
Yeah, really? Wow.
That story. You know, cue two things here. First, first Ian Malcolm saying, life finds a way. And secondly, that line from Real Genius where the girl asks Val Kilmer's character, can you hammer a 6-inch nail through a board with your penis?
Right, exactly. Okay, that was the one. Yeah. Oh, God.
Because a girl's got to have her standards.
Real genius. Wow.
They're the lar gibbon, which is also known as the white-handed gibbon.
So, Dumbass and I, our articles have to go together here. So, Mad Cat, why don't you talk to us about one of yours down here?
Which one do you think would fit?
Oh, with penises? It's not polar bears.
Well.
32 new species discovered. What is this?
That is about species found in 2022. And it's really interesting because there's a lot of species that are discovered each year. And people don't really know it.
Well, wait. This links to five new species discovered in 2023. Is this one of those? I see. I think I know what's going on. Okay.
Yeah. Some of the favorites. What is a species? How many go extinct? How many plant species? Blah blah blah. Okay. New described ones. There's a tree-dwelling species of DiCaprio snail-eating snake. It's one of five new snail-eating snakes described by scientists. So it's a brown, creamy, weird-looking little snake with
go big on
eyes and a little doggin.
I've heard that they're constantly finding like new species of insects and stuff in just like ordinary hedges.
What they are finding are cryptids.
You know, I'm impressed with the fact that. With his busy schedule, he had time to discover that snake as well as time filming.
I don't know. They name animals after a lot of interesting. So, like, there's this little frog here called a Hilocitrus?
See, you're
Tolkieni, which is named after J.R.R. Tolkien, frog.
Here's the link she meant to put in here. Because the link that you point to, Mad Cat, is five new species in 2023.
2023? They're nuts.
Yeah. They're five new species discovered in 2023. So in the first month of 2023, they are discovered five new species. And that's what your link points to. But there's another, also there's 32 species discovered in 2022.
Well, that was in the other,
So I see your frog.
Yeah, I accidentally mixed up the two of them.
Yep, that's okay.
So, five at the start of 2023 that they wanted to mention. They found more animals than that. So you have the snake, frog. They've only found one individual of the species so far for the frog. A bent-toed gecko, Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste. I hope I said that right. Fourth youngest country of the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste, whatever. But they found their first species of bent-toed gecko, and it was found during the day and initially evaded efforts of the scientists to catch it, returning at night as these geckos are nocturnal and they'd be less skittish. The scientists were able to catch 10 of the geckos.
I like the picture down here of the scorpion with all the little scorpions on his back.
Oh yeah, that's the normal thing. The little scorpion.
I'm a little amazed by look at these images. I'm a little amazed by all the like fairly large animals that have just been like overlooked and nobody knew they were a thing. But then I think to myself, you know, I guess for most people, like a lot of them look very similar, and it takes an expert to find the difference that makes them like actual new species. Most people just would see this like be like, oh yeah, that's just an owl, like, or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's actually a reptile.
Yeah.
You're saying something, Ian?
Oh, I was agreeing. Sounds right.
I'm finding the name of the tree frog to be highly amusing. They they say that the colors of the described species evoke the magnificent creatures that only seem to exist in fantasy worlds. I think the conversation probably went a lot more like, huh, look at this frog. Little fucker looks like Gollum.
Probably. And then they, you know, up it to sounding a lot sweeter than
well,
that.
Well, they can't put that in a scientific paper. Little
well,
fucker
it could, but
it probably wouldn't
go too far.
I bet if you include insects in these discovery numbers that it would be much higher. Well, I guess yeah. Technically the scorpion is an insect.
Yeah.
Or wait, what are they? No, they're not.
It's an arthropod.
Yeah, okay.
Arthropod.
But yeah, I think that, I mean, there's always
I think most of the new species that are discovered are probably like beetles, right? So like,
yeah, because there's more beetles than anything else.
Not as interesting to go to put a list of beetles on a thing, if it, you know. I mean, if, you know, not too bad, but, you know, you want a variety.
Yeah, now, despite some of our beliefs, there's so much still to find here on Earth that, you know, we barely discovered. There's so many mysteries out there.
So why are we going to the moon then? Why do we need to go to Mars if there's so much to discover here?
Because there's also stuff to discover there.
You know why we're going to the moon and Mars? I heard that NASA was actually originally tasked with exploring the oceans. Mm-hmm. And whatever they found there, now they're trying to get us into space.
Whatever they found needs to
go home. I mean, it's all a liberal plot to open up child pedophile rings on other planets.
Oh, no. Yeah, in the basement of a pizzeria.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. According to the right-wing conspiracies, we're actually already on Mars, and we have slave colonies up there.
Oh.
All right, Ian, what do you want to talk about? Give me an article.
AI.
You're going to do AI too? Okay, we're going to do we're going to do a bunch more AI. Oh, yeah, so you've got one up here, so you do yours.
So, yeah, so this is actually a great follow-up to our other talks about AI and art, you know, because it's there. It's happening. There's no way around it. So the sci-fi magazine Clark's World, which has rejected me a good dozen times now, actually had to close their submissions because they had over 500 submissions made that were AI-written submissions in February alone.
From ChatGPT.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And they show a graph, that they have a graph on there showing basically how often they've had to ban writers because of plagiarism and using AI. And normally it's pretty low. You know, you're talking about probably less than 10 a year. Then suddenly... less than 10 a month. Suddenly starting in October of 2022, it starts going up, goes up a little in November, a little more in December, a good jump in January, then skyrockets in February.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, the popularity of the ChatGPT stuff. And it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a writer, I mean, we always joke about how wouldn't it be great if all we had to do was come up with the idea and get it written for us? I mean, you know, I've heard that joke from so many writers, and here it is.
Although, you know, you can't really write anything too lengthy with AI these days.
Actually, there is a couple of them that if you pay for them, they do make things more lengthy.
But I've read a few of the stuff that's been created by that, and they are cohesive stories, but they're boring as hell. The AI do not I can honestly say that. The AI stuff does not have any imagination. It does not know how to be descriptive. It does not know how to create any kind of atmosphere. It is very straightforward, very dull, very to the point. It can tell you a story, but oh my God, is it boring. It's not worth reading.
So, and it's often wrong, right? The problem also that ChatGPT has right now is that there's so much conflicting information out there, and that sometimes it just gets whatever it's putting in there wrong. And we recently saw an issue with Bing, and you know they're using Microsoft is using the OpenAI stuff as well, and of course Bing got mad at somebody, and it basically tells them off, and it's like okay that's not gonna work, but the person that was kind of poking the AI knew how to poke it in just right way, and you know basically goes off about how he's not. You know, he's not being good, and that Bing has been nothing but good. I'm a good Bing, and so you know, it's interesting, you know, it's so new and so young that, yeah, you know, what the stuff we're seeing with it is, it's interesting for sure.
Well, yeah, and it's not going to go away. That's even here it says it. They don't have a solution for the problem, but they're aware of it, and they, you know, how do you adjust for it? I mean, even me, I look at this kind of stuff as, could I put my story idea into this, take what they give me, go through and shape it up, make it into something that doesn't feel AI, but to save me a whole lot of time, be a lazy ass.
Yeah, well,
I can see writers doing it.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good way to use AI, right, for story writing. You say, like, sure, hey, give me like a story outline for like that. Give me the four acts for a story idea that I can flesh out myself, and I want these to be this, that, and the other thing to be a part of it, and, you know, go with what it comes up for you.
And I could see that being used now even by writers, where it's like, okay, let's just get the basic concept, and I can go through and do a full-on edit, add to, expand, and all that to do it. But if the basics there, you know, I can get away with being a little lazier, a little more relaxed and getting the first draft down kind of thing.
It may give you a framework to build from, right? And that's okay.
It saves you the trouble of hiring a ghostwriter. but if you really,
which
if
one,
you really wanna...
me or Robbie or the old fart?
But I guess just going to say that the, you know, if you really want to be lazy, you put your story idea into AI and then you hire a ghostwriter to flesh it out.
It gets
like
us back
I said,
to copyright.
Which one, Robbie or the old guy? Yeah.
It gets us back to copyright, though. If the chatbot writes it, it's uncopyrightable. So for you to take that and then submit it as yours, number one, that's fraudulent, right? You didn't write that. If you use it as guidance, that's one thing. If you take it and you're massaging it and rewriting it, I think that's something different. If you use it to get an idea down on paper, sure, right? Yeah. And I think the artwork can work the same way, is that you get a basic framework, you know, and something to work from.
Yeah.
But if you're using it solely as an entry, I think that, you know, we've got a problem.
Yeah, and see, that's what once more, like we said with the art stuff, is it's there. It's not going anywhere. We're going to have to learn to adapt. We're going to have to learn how to work with it within our system. It will change things, no doubt. And, you know, you have like Clark's World wants to have high quality writing, and they have very strict guidelines.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could very much see there being a market for literary magazines. Say, okay, fine, send us your AI stuff. We'll put it, you know.
That could be entertaining. Oh. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Clark's World magazine, is this, am I assuming this is Arthur C. Clarke?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, the editor of it, I can't remember his name right now, is something Clarke. Okay. It's one of the first markets I send any of my new stories to, because it's a high paying market. It's a highly respectable market. It's a multi award winning market. So if you can get in there, that's a pretty prestigious thing. So in any of my stories, it's one of the first markets I submit to. And once more, I've been rejected a good dozen times by them now, but, you know, you keep trying. But
if you get kicked out of some good places, that's...
yeah. But in this case, that's what I'm saying. You know, we don't accept that stuff. Stop sending it to us. And I think some markets will have to be even more vocal about, hey, no, we do not accept this. Do not send it to us. Because... you know, they are blocking, you know, it's like, okay, you've sent it an AI piece of work. We will accept nothing more from you. You are blocked. We won't read anything more you send now.
Yeah.
I was asking about Arthur C. Clarke, though, because you would think that something based on Arthur C. Clarke would be a little bit more AI friendly, considering, you know, how.
Well, the one thing that this does bring up is it does show that my standards are pretty low, since I let Ian come back every week.
I'm an AI? Damn.
No, not the AI part, just the fact that their standards are very high. They reject you every time you send an article, and I haven't rejected you yet.
That's why you love me.
And I'm backwards.
Well, here, so let's move on. So there's chat. Now you're using ChatGPT to write stories, I think malware is a great place to get started. This is the best new thing for script kiddies in a very long time. You know, they used to have to go and look for somebody else to write a tool, but if you can go to ChatGPT and you can use it to write code to write your malware for you, this is a whole new way for scammers, you know, to start, you know, attacking other people. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
As long as it's other people.
As long as it's other people. Exactly. Yeah, other people. Not me. Not you. Other people. Yeah,
now the malware people, the scammers, can be lazy as these people that think writing's a...
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, we already had, you know, places that have a whole bunch of code on them that people were stealing it from. But, yeah, so we are seeing now that malware has been written by ChatGPT. And here's the thing that I think, though, that it can write the outline line and the framework, but I think that, you know, there's probably still some tweaks that have got to be done once you get it. I don't know how really good it is, but I do know that there are programmers using it as a starting point. They're using the OpenAI stuff, and they use the API, you know, to base the scripts on, and they're generating code, and that code can, you know, be used to generate malware as well.
Yeah, but the malware is not copyrightable.
Well, that is a true point. But I don't think that there is a case of copyrighted malware as of yet, so I don't think it's an issue. I think that's one place where copyright doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's probably open work.
Malware does not have a license.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That would be interesting to see that happens. Like, okay, don't forget to license malware. Oh, you bet. Hey,
that's right.
Thank you.
You think DarkSide is coming out and licensing their crypto malware? I don't think so. I don't think it works that way.
You mean they
don't? It would be kind of like an interesting, you might call it a kind of performance art project if you like made malware, released it, and it required you to accept a license agreement before it would do malware stuff. Just as like somebody gets it on their system and it won't spread at all, but it'll just be out there like somewhere on a website. People can download it if they want to.
But yeah, so apparently,
and if they want to completely fuck up their system, they can do that.
But yeah, but so apparently they did actually write an app, and I guess it looks like that they had to take it off of the Apple Store.
Okay.
Yeah, it was asking for money. So yeah, so the chatbot alternative price. Oh, I guess it's an alternative. So there are. So it's not just, you know. So here's the thing: is that we're starting to see more of these too. So, you know,
Ryan, I do want to point out DarkSide is not real. That's just something from comic books.
I think that there is an actual crypto malware group called DarkSide.
Probably.
because they
have that monkey one.
But yeah, I guess I'm trying to look at what some of these that they always say they were charging for $6 a month. But I think that these were the like OpenAI. I think this was the apps for, you know, that were APIs to OpenAI that people were charging for that they had to remove. So that's interesting too. But so now we've got malware writing stories. We've got malware writing, we've got OpenAI writing stories, writing malware. But can it help with cancer?
What kind of cancer? Breast cancer?
Yes, breast cancer specifically. We're using.
Well, yeah. So. There's actually been some progress on that front. We're talking about using it. It's more a pattern image recognition thing, which is more akin to what the image creation ARs are based on. But basically, this is for going through the screening results and looking for things that could be cancer and marking them out. And of course there's a human there who's checking these, but you know, like it could like seriously help their workload.
This looks like
it makes it a lot faster to go through that kind of stuff by doing that. It could be used by veterinarians and such for fecal samples too.
So are they taking the images and then putting them through an image thing, an image AI
That's part of it is like the image AI. Part of it is also that they've got they've got the AI configured the MRI machine as it's doing the scan to send the pulses at specific spots that might look a little suspicious as the scan is being done, so that it highlights those.
Okay, yeah. So they're using some imaging tool as well. Mammogram. Good to know.
Sorry.
That's cool.
So yeah, apparently using this method, the cancer kind of lights up and shows its characteristics, which can be very helpful in understanding and treating it.
I think it's a little disappointing that I showed the dark side of AI, Ian shows the dark side of AI, and then you want to show us the bright side of AI?
But that's a legitimate thing. Once AI is a tool, but nothing more. And
absolutely, absolutely.
Could be used for good and evil equally.
You mean like creatures?
Like what?
Video
game. You mean the creature, the video game, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not quite as sophisticated though. That's from like when? Like early 2000s or was it like in even late 90s?
It was late 90s.
Yeah.
Or mid 90s actually when I was playing it.
I think this is I like this one. The idea that you're going to take an MRI and then you're going to feed it into an AI to maybe sharpen portions of the image and stuff like that. I think that this has merit. This is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing that for quite a while.
With AI?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They squish your boobies and the machine goes and checks things out.
Right, but not to this extent. I mean, this is going one step further.
Well, no, not to that extent. Yeah. That is true.
No, and see, that's a thing. We're going forward. Whatever you may think of AI, it's here. It's not going away. And the uses for it are going to only expand from here on out in all directions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like that. There are, of course, concerns with new technologies like this, people can use it for weird stuff. I think there's a part where we're probably not going to be able to trust AI to give us truthful stuff. The way we can with Google or whatever, but all this other stuff. There are ways to use it that will significantly benefit our lives, I believe.
Well, I mean, we're seeing Google and we're seeing,
not the least of which is creating nice, pretty pictures when you want them.
Right. But we're seeing
crazy pictures.
We are seeing Google and we have seen Bing augmenting their search with OpenAI. And Google's working on it, right? Microsoft has beaten them to the punch a little bit here. But we definitely see some problems with it in doing so. But yeah, it's interesting. But they're all still narrow AIs, and they're not going to take over the world, not yet.
No.
No, if you compare it to the human brain, the AIs are only mimicking a very small portion of our brain, mostly just pattern recognition parts of our brain, and not like the full for consciousness, it takes the full. A whole bunch of functions in there that you'd have to try to replicate or work around
and pull out of that all the information out of that onion head that you have, where it's peeling back layer and layer and layer and layer.
There is an article that I have not read yet by Stephen Wolfram. So I don't know if you guys know the search engine Wolfram Alpha.
Okay.
It's more of a scientific geared search engine. I think we might have talked about it a long time ago. But anyway, so he's written some stuff about AI and ChatGPT, and essentially it's basically a pattern matching engine. That's what we're calling AI. That is just pattern matching, right? It's a sophisticated regex.
Yeah, it's very sophisticated pattern matching, which. Yeah. Seems like it's eerily sophisticated at a lot of times, but
for certain things,
but it's very limited, extremely limited in what it can do.
So I don't know. He has a blog, and I don't know if this is the article that people have been referencing, but Wolfram Alpha. So Wolfram Alpha as a way to bring computational knowledge superpower to ChatGPT. So I guess he wants to integrate the two of them, maybe, which I think is a good idea, to take what he's been doing and adding a chatbot to it. That could be interesting as well. So it's being expanded a lot. ChatGPT is being expanded a lot of ways. I guess, you know, what you're looking at with the cancer isn't as applicable to this as what Ian was talking about and I was talking about. But in some ways, it's still the same basic thing.
Right. It's this is more on the image side of things than you guys are doing on the tech side of things, which both are like, you know, like the ability to generate text and images and recognize images grown by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. But even still, even writing those, it's taking patterns from stuff that it's read that has been fed into it and writing stories. Right. It's not mm-hmm. just coming up with that stuff. It's writing the stories based on what it has, you know, been fed.
Mm-hmm. Boring stories.
Well, I'm not saying they're great by any means, but it's not learning, right? It's writing stories based on information that has been gathered. I guess humans do that as well, but humans still have an ability for randomness that the computer is incapable of.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, however, it can only like mimic so much.
Right. Yeah.
It depends on how much information you are willing to give it and how much information you're willing to work with it. Because there are AIs that learn from what you're doing and reciprocate by learning how you do things for it to be able to give you proper information and such, like, you know, the ones that pick up that you want to buy a new purse or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to continue to talk about AI. I think that it's
not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's always, no doubt. But I find it more interesting than like there's other stuff that comes up all the time, right? I mean, you can always find a Twitter and Elon Musk thing, right? We could put one of those every week in there, but it ends up being less interesting actually than what's going on with AI, right? These are actually interesting things I think that are happening with AI, as opposed to just, you know, mudslinging.
I agree.
Yeah, but I do think on that note we should say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. That one specific person I am directing this good night to. Not everybody, just one specific person. You know who you are, so good night.
We don't.
They stopped listening, Ian. It took you too long to get to them. Anyway, that's another...
I want to say goodnight to that one specific person, too. I don't know who you are, but I love you.
Met you on the chat thing.
Maybe that's just another one in the awkward can.
I think so.
Yep.
If you've made it this far, that's an hour of your time you're never getting back. But the amateur skeptics appreciate you giving that hour to us. If you'd like to tell us how you felt about spending that hour with us, let us know at WTF@amateurskeptics.com. The Amateur Skeptics Podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike No Derivatives 3.5 license. Intro music by Peter Canold. Find more of Peter's music at soundcloud.com/PKANOL. Exit music by OFM. Find more of their music at myspace.com/OFMHQ. Artwork for the Amateur Skeptics by Sean Smith Bohr. Copyright Shadow Knight Digital Portraiture.